Let me read that again. The building which will descend from heaven will have certain indispensable parts missing. It will be our obligation to add these components, and this will be our way of fulfilling the command to build the temple. This theory explains the seeming redundancy in our Yom Tov prayers, where we say, grant that we may see it in its rebuilding and rejoice in its perfecting. The rebuilding would refer to the building descending from heaven, and the perfecting would be the finishing touches which we are to provide. Both the opinions of Rashi and Tosafos on the one hand, and Rambam on the other hand, can be justified on the basis of Talmudic and Midrashic sources. Another complicated issue is the question of whether the command to build a temple is binding upon us even before the coming of the Messiah. All right, what does all that mean? I'll try to distill this down. One school of thought is that Israel will not themselves build a temple. They believe that that Ezekiel's temple will miraculously descend from heaven fully formed.
That's the
third temple.
Third.
Fourth temple.
Third.
Well, that's their third. It's our fourth, Ezekiel's temple. That's not the one that's going to be destroyed. That's Ezekiel's temple.
This is the one that's going to last forever.
That's the one that...
The
Jews don't believe there's going to be so they're expecting the next one. Okay. That's the Jews are looking for this next temple to come down from heaven, fully formed in all of its perfect details.
And they just do.
That's Rashi's view.
Okay.
Okay. So that's one school of thought represented by Rashi.
But he calls it the third.
Well, they because they don't see it being destroyed ever. But of course, we in the New Testament, and we see that it is going to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. His third is our fourth temple.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Their third is really our fourth, mm-hmm. and they're not. But the problem with them building a temple is that they think that that's going to be the final one. See, they're not looking for a Jim Walter home of some kind.
Which is they're looking for one to come down from heaven, right?
That's right.
Well, it ain't gonna come down from heaven.
All right.
How's one gonna get
built? Now, it probably will. The one Ezekiel actually talked about, the millennial temple, probably will.
Yeah, but that's the fourth one.
That's the fourth.
But that's not what they're looking for.
But that's not the one. That's the one they're looking for.
But it's not coming until the millennial.
I know.
Where's the temple coming from that's supposed to be destroyed?
See, that's the problem. That's the problem.
That's a monumental problem you're
talking
about.
That's the problem, you see.
Why should they build one?
That's right. How are they going to build one when they expect one to descend from heaven fully formed?
Almost fully.
Why do they need the blueprint?
Well, one of them says, according to one school of thought, it will be fully formed. They won't have to even touch it.
Does he mention the court of the Gentiles?
No.
Most of the Solomon's and Herod's temple was, the biggest part was the court of the Gentiles.
Yeah, it's not in there. Ezekiel doesn't mention it. Ezekiel doesn't mention it. And they've got. I'll show you. They have God.
God, you will be Jesus.
They got a blueprint.
They have a blueprint. This is marvelous. And we were going to try to make copies of this and send it around. This is their blueprint of Ezekiel's temple. Mm-hmm.
The strange thing I was listening to that was, are they saying that Solomon's temple was different from Herod's and it's different from that one?
Yeah.
So they're all three completely different?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are. All right, now stay with me just a little bit. Stay with me now.
Okay.
See?
Okay.
All right, you're thinking now. I've got you drawn in. Now you're thinking. All right, stay with me now. All right, they believe there the one school of thought represented by Rashi says that the temple, this next temple.
The next one.
The one that, you know, there's rumors about, you know, all the time. We hear all these rumors. This one is going to just descend from heaven fully formed, and nobody's going to have to lay a hand on it. That's one school of thought. All right.
Not even the finishing touches.
No, not even the finishing touches. But a second school of thought, the one held by Rambam, has that Messiah will build it when he comes. Messiah himself will build it when he comes. Now, this school of thought believes that it will come down from heaven partially for, but that Messiah will put the finishing touches on it. So they believe that this group of people believes that it will be built by human hands, because of course they believe the Messiah is a human. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they believe it will be built by human hands, but only those hands are the Messiah's hands.
All by himself he's going to build it?
Well, he may, you know, I mean, you know, it may be under his direction or whatever, you know, I mean, but, you know. So, but it's the third school. So you've got two-thirds of Jewry that are not looking for any kind of temple whatsoever until Messiah appears. And only when Messiah has appeared and gotten things under control will the temple come down, either fully formed or else Messiah will have to put the finishing touches on.
Okay.
So that's two-thirds of Jewry. Mm-hmm. A third school of thought is that Israel must build the temple before Messiah can come. The New Testament suggests that it will be this school of thought that eventually carries the day. Because but the problem with this is what's going to happen. Two-thirds of Jewry don't believe that anybody ought to lay a hand on building the temple at this time. That only when Messiah comes is it permitted. So how in the world are they going to build a temple, and where do they get the directions? Where do the directions come from? Because when Zerubbabel, we saw that written directions came to David from God, and he gave them to Solomon. And when Zerubbabel was here, he had some directions that he used. He cobbled something together with Ezekiel's, you know, vision. But he also had the two great prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. Now we've got none of the above. And besides that, when Zerubbabel was here, there were people still alive that helped in the rebuilding of the second temple that had seen the first temple. And when they erected the second temple and they saw it, they wept.
Yeah.
Because it was nothing compared to what the first temple was.
Mm, yeah.
Now we have nobody that has seen anything that they can compare it to. We have no prophets, and we have no directions from God, and the directions are absolutely mandatory. Where in the world does anybody get off saying that we can build a temple when we have no prophets and no direction and no Messiah? How does that happen? So what's going on here is the very idea of building a temple is going to rock Judaism to its core. Two-thirds of Jewry are going to say, no, no, no. You can't do it. Two-thirds are going to say, no, you can't do it. It's not now. It's not for us. It's for the Messiah, if at all. Only that one-third is going to say, okay, we got to do it. Where are they going to get that? Where in the world are they going to get the directions? They have no directions. And that's the problem. They have no directions. Ezekiel's temple, as we found out, was not specific enough. The directions, Ezekiel's vision, was not specific enough to allow them to build the second temple according to his directions. So it's not any more clear now than it was then. You can't just go to Jim Walter and say, hey, build me a temple. It doesn't work that way. So they're absolutely in a quandary. They don't know what to do about it. Because their rabbis from ancient days are telling them, you know, two, three different things. And so they have no idea what they're going to do. They simply have no idea at this point what they're going to do. And when you hear all these stories about the temple about to be built, just put that in file 13. That's just not happening. This is a new book. Nobody's thinking about building the temple. Nobody's thinking about building the temple.
Because some of the things say that it sounds like it's going to be any time, any day now.
I know that.
It's like, really? How is that even possible?
It's not possible. Now, you know, let's be honest. I know that the New Testament tells us that it's going to happen somehow or other. I don't know where they're going to get these directions. I don't know. Jesus said, you know, of course, that he said that there would be false prophets. There would be false prophets that would arise in the end times. And maybe there will. Maybe, I don't know who's going to give them these directions. That it's going to carry the day. But they're going to have to believe that somehow or other these guys are really from God and they're giving them directions from God.
It could be from the Antichrist spirit. It's not going to be the true temple of God. Because
no, it's not the true temple.
So they could get their directions from Satan himself, as far as that goes.
But you see the problem. You understand the problems?
There's a lot of problems.
You understand the problems? They don't know how. They don't know how, and they have no plans, and they can't just make them up.
Somebody's going to deceive them with some plan. Somebody's going to deceive them with some plan.
Yeah.
Unless they have David's original plan.
They ain't got David's original plan. They didn't even have them. Zerubbabel didn't even have them.
It's in the archives.
And the Vatican ain't got them. Forget about that. You can't blame that on the Catholic Church. They ain't got them. So don't look for them in the Vatican archives. They're not in there.
So what is this temple that's going to be built? What is the temple going to be that's going to be built, the third one? Going to be a God temple or not?
Well, let me tell you this.
We're not building.
Well, I mean, is the Lord going to accept it?
Now, let me tell you this.
I don't know.
Now, in case you don't know this.
I got a mouse over here.
In the millennial temple, this is the one that comes down from heaven. I suspect that, you know, when after the Battle of Armageddon and everything, you know, was and Jerusalem's going to have to be rebuilt because it's going to be destroyed. So Jerusalem's going to have to be rebuilt. I would not be a bit surprised if Rashi is probably about correct that the new temple is just going to descend from heaven fully formed. I mean, you know, when the time comes and Jesus, you know, puts his feet here on earth to stay for 1,000 years, it won't take him long to produce a temple.
The third temple.
That'll be the last
fourth.
That'll be the fourth temple. That'll be the millennium temple.
Hey, it is confusing. We're trying to
the
trying
millennial to think temple. The third one is destroyed with Jerusalem.
Everything, yeah.
That's right. Everything goes. Everything. The third temple is coming, but it must be destroyed. The Jews don't realize that.
Yeah.
They're thinking that that's the final temple. It is not. There will be another one. But because that they're looking for the final temple now, or the next one that they think is going to be the final one, they have all kinds of problems with how in the world you're going to build a temple that will never be destroyed, that God will dwell in forever. And they have no answer for this. So all of these rumors and, you know, all of this stuff flying around about the temple about to be rebuilt and all this, forget about all of that. Forget about it. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. Well, forget about it. There's got to be some upheaval. There will have to be a spiritual upheaval of the kind which we cannot even imagine before the Jews will be persuaded that they can proceed to build a temple. And we haven't seen anything like that, and it's not even contemplated.
Okay, Gentiles cannot build this temple.
Gentiles cannot build
the
temple.
Because I think a lot of the talk that we hear about the temple being built is a lot of Gentiles talking about it.
Well, now here's
I don't
you
know
might,
that
you
I
might
think,
be
I don't
able
know.
To see Herod pulled off some Houdini kind of stuff. Yeah. In rebuilding Zerubbabel's temple. And it could be that, you know, I mean, the Antichrist could, you know, work together with some of these guys to, you know, contribute some way or other so it would look like he wasn't doing it when he really was doing it. You see what I'm saying? Because Herod did.
Sleight of hand.
That's right, sleight of hand. The Antichrist could use Herod's playbook.
Yeah.
He could take a page out of Herod's playbook and make it look like, you know, it was something that, that it really wasn't, that he was, but, so I don't know, but before he can do that, you see.
Something big.
Something huge is going to happen in Judaism, that's, because right now you've got two-thirds of Judaism saying, no, forget about it, no. Can't happen.
Apple on there now.
Yeah.
It's like the tower of Babel, they're all talking in different languages, they can't do it.
That's right. As long as their tongues are divided, they can't proceed. They're going to have to get on the same page, and God only knows what that's going to be, but it ain't going to be easy.
Yeah, it's
going
to have to be something.
We haven't begun to see anything like what that will be, whatever it is. But it will have to happen in order for them to proceed to build a third temple.
Well, it can't be the abomination of desolation because that's in the third temple.
That's going to be in the third temple. Of course, they don't expect that because they think that already happened.
But that's going to shake them up.
Well, it'll destroy them.
Yeah.
It'll destroy them is what it'll do because they, you know... Obviously, they think that this is going to be their third and final temple.
Indestructible.
And when this temple is destroyed, completely destroyed, then what's it going to do to them?
But it's going to be destroyed. That's 35 acres. It's going to be destroyed with all
that's right.
of Jerusalem.
All of Jerusalem, yeah.
I mean,
yes, all of Jerusalem.
That is.
All of Jerusalem. That's right.
And there's a lot of stone there.
That's right. That is true. So here, you know, this is the problem. So this is the problem that the Jews are facing, and is where it is something that we Christians need to be aware of. When it, you know, you get all of this talk about, you know, the temple is about to rebuild, and they're taking up, you know, they've got plans, and
they got all the supplies.
Yeah, all the supplies. What kind of supplies are you going to need for a temple that comes down out of heaven? What in the world is that all about?
Well, this is the people that say this is the last third that say they must build it, that must be doing that, right?
Yeah.
Well, I can hear stuff like, you know, the menorah that was designed and built, the original.
Yeah.
They don't even know how to do that.
Yeah, no.
They don't know. They don't have any method.
They don't know.
Of doing that.
They don't even have a prophet that, you know, like Haggai or Zechariah that can stand up and give them directions.
Right.
They got nothing.
I mean, God gave them all of the gifts that they needed.
That's right.
That first temple.
That's right. They had all
of
kinds of help.
They didn't know how to do
now,
it.
Now, let me tell you this. Is this going to happen? And I don't know how many of you realize that in Ezekiel's temple, and for 1,000 years, they're going to go back to offering animal sacrifices.
That's weird.
They are going to go back to offering sin offerings.
Peter's going to go crazy.
Peace offerings.
Oh my God.
Trespass offerings. And burnt offerings. Every day.
It's going to be during their millennium day, this.
In the temple. Now here's
When is this going to take place, Mike? The offerings, the sacrifices in the millennium.
This is in the millennial temple, and this is a God thing. This is a God thing. Now, can I explain that? No, I don't have a clue. I got nothing, man. I got nothing. I don't know. I don't know.
It's a different time.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But I know that those people that are going to be living there. And during that period of time, are going to be flesh and blood human beings. They're not going to be born. They're not going to be recreated. You know, they're not going to be resurrected, glorified saints.
Yeah,
it's going like to be us. That way because it's back in the Old Testament way. Because they can't be saved.
They can't be born again.
Can't
no,
born
they're
again.
Not born again. No, no.
So that's the only way that they can do the like the Old Testament deal. So that makes sense.
Well, the only problem with that is, sisters, the only problem with that is, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, that all of those animal sacrifices were were summed up in the sacrifice offered by Jesus, and he took care of all.
That's right.
Now, but the problem is, so now what's going to happen is, for those people who were not in the resurrection, they go into the millennium in their mortal bodies. Apparently, they're not going to be born again, and they're going to need sacrificial offerings. I don't understand that. It's like you're going back to the weak and beggarly elements of the world again, and I don't understand how. But that's what it says is going to happen. And again, you got to have faith, because the Bible says that's what's going to happen. I don't understand. I've got to believe it, though. But I have to believe it.
If it's the millennium, Jesus is reigning.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Is there two temples then?
No.
He's the high priest.
No.
He'll be doing the sacrifice himself.
This is for example. Let me give you an example here.
It is strange. We don't understand.
This is Ezekiel 40:39. In the porch of the gate were two tables on this side and two tables on that side to slay thereon the burnt offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering. And then it goes on and on and on. Now there are some drastic differences between the way that the sacrifices are supposed to be offered in Ezekiel's temple and the way they've ever been offered since the days of Moses. And of course, the Jews don't understand this any more than we do. For example, always before there was a morning and an evening offering. But not in Ezekiel's temple, there's only a morning offering. They have no evening offering. Where did that go? Nobody knows. All I can tell you is there's strange things happening in this millennial temple.
It's a different time.
It is a very, very, very different world than what we live in right here, right now. This is the grace dispensation. This is the most awesome
it
time that
awesome.
There has ever been to live.
Yes, it is.
Glory to God that I was born here and born in this dispensation. Glory to God that you were too. But things will not always be as they are. The grace dispensation will end. Mm-hmm. And everything that we understand is going to be different.
Well, the people that are born during the 1,000 years will be born with sin nature.
Yes, they will.
Because
yes, they will.
Because
still
going. Yeah,
yes,
because
still
they're
going.
Human.
Still
going on. Even.
Right.
But they're going to have good doctors because 100 years old.
They're going. A child will die being 100 years old. It's going to be a time of long life and a time of peace and prosperity.
Cause the sickness.
But somebody asked the question: are they going to offer sacrifices in the third temple? Why not? If the church is gone. And if they're going to offer animal sacrifices in the millennial temple, why wouldn't they offer sacrifices in the third temple? Yeah. Why would if it's good for Ezekiel in the millennial temple to offer sacrifices, why wouldn't it be good in the third temple during the tribulation period to offer sacrifices? And when you read about that in the book of Daniel, it does appear that the sacrifices that are offered in that temple are good.
Who's going to be cutting up the animals? Who's going to be doing the sacrifice? Jesus, the high priest.
Well, Jesus during the millennium.
Well, this is what we're talking about during the millennium.
Well, I flip back.
Oh,
over.
I'm sorry. I'm still on the millennium over here. I don't know.
I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to that. I just report on what I see, what I read.
We know that priests had to do it. A common man couldn't go in there and do it.
No,
you know,
no,
Samuel
no,
got on the king Saul. What are you doing?
You've got to have a high priest to do it.
And Jesus is our high priest.
I know.
Okay, if the Lord raises up 144,000, some of those are going to be priests.
Some of them will be priests. There'll be 12,000 from the tribe of Levi.
Will any of them be a red heifer?
He could bring back a red heifer.
If he can raise 144,000 old dead men, he can raise up a red heifer.
Sure can. One of them has already been sacrificed. Bring it back in.
I'll tell you what now. I congratulate you all. You guys have got faith. You guys really believe that these miraculous, unbelievable things are going to happen. And I'll give you credit for that, because there's not a lot of Christendom that can grasp this and will grasp it. They just don't believe.
They won't even toy
with it. They won't even, you know, we,